Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to today's episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, I will be welcoming LaDia Joyce, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about LaDia's background. So one can say one's identity can never be reduced to three letters, but three letters can propel you into your purpose. For some, these three letters are G-O-D, M-B-A, or M-O-M. For LaDia, or Dia, as she is affectionately known by her friends and family, it is HIV. Her diagnosis is the catalyst for her current platform, Positively Dia, and this platform serves to document her journey as an African-American woman living with HIV. So we are very lucky to have LaDia Joyce with us today. Welcome, LaDia.
Hi, Kimmy. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am very good. Thank you for being here. I know you have so much to say, so I'm going to get right into it. Why don't you go ahead and start by telling the audience about you and how you started your movement that you have today?
Okay. Well, I guess a little bit about myself. LaDia Joyce, born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. I spent some time in Atlanta, as well as lived in Brooklyn, New York. I don't want to get into the boring stuff. Like, I'm no unmarried, no children. Basically, graduated from the University of Memphis. I had this big dreams of doing everything and all things under the sun. And on September 29th, 2016, I was diagnosed as being HIV positive. And during that time, I had one business that I was getting up off the ground, another venture that I was actually getting ready to start. And the diagnosis, it was like a hard stop sign in everything that I had going on personally, professionally, mentally, emotionally. It was just like a hard, hard stop. And I took a year. I dealt with it. And it may seem strange to others, but God gave me 1 year. He was like, I need you to write. And then he gave me Psalms 23. And during that time, I chronicled what it was like to, you know, be dealing with HIV. Basically, he told me that everything I was looking for was what I was supposed to be. So just like the real, the raw, the uncut, you know, the questions, where is a Black woman who is dealing with this? What do they go through personally? I understand the advocacy part of it, but what are you doing personally? What are you going through? What are you dealing with? Like, I want to, for lack of better words, you know, pick your brain, see, experience, read about that. So I took a year, I chronicled, and then on September 29th of 2017, I had an event, invited friends, family, sorority sisters, frat brothers, fellow people who are my friends here in the Memphis community, you know, people I graduated with. And during that event, we did a film screening of a movie dealing with HIV and the Black community. And then I disclosed my status. That was the first time I said it aloud. And since September 29th, 2017, it seems like it's been a whirlwind. But since that time, I've launched a blog. I've held numerous events geared towards education, awareness, and prevention, especially for African-American women. And I end up here on the podcast today with Ms. Kimmy Walker.
Yes, that's an amazing journey. So just to get clarification, you chronicled for a year before you told friends and family?
I want to say I told about a good 5 people, and that was it. And after that year, it's just like, okay, here we go. Yeah, at that time, that's when I disclosed it. I had the event. I went live. I disclosed my status. And that's kind of how Positively Dia officially birthed to the world, for lack of better words.
What motivated you to be as transparent as you are about your diagnosis?
I'm probably the most transparent, private person you will ever meet. Certain things I'm very transparent about: mental health, having been molested growing up, rape. So I'm transparent about those things. But this one was different because HIV in the African-American community is not talked about. Even with this prevalence in 2018, we still don't talk about it. And especially from an African-American woman perspective, blogging, looking for answers, trying to find books, articles, everything was from a white gay male perspective. And at that time, I was like, I cannot be the only person who's looking for this type of information. So it was almost like I didn't have a choice because I'm such an ally for so many things when it comes to us and concerns with our Black community. I was like, I can't sit on this, you know, because I literally could be saving someone's life, giving them some insight, helping direct them when it comes to self-care or sexual reproductive health, STI, STDs. I couldn't sit on it. So I was just like, let me help somebody else in this journey. It's like almost as if helping others has embodied and enabled me to help myself.
And I think that's a great movement that you have and everything that you've done on Positively Dia. I've seen a lot of your YouTube videos, and I think they are very empowering and very educational in the way that you deliver it. Since you have been HIV positive or known that you were HIV positive, what are some big misconceptions that you just keep running into, like just a lot of ignorance that you still feel exists when it comes to people who live with HIV?
It's crazy because you get it from the provider side, and providers may be your case managers or doctors. And then you also get it from peers, coworkers, everyday people who feel as if HIV is only like concentrated within a particular socioeconomical, educational status. Like it's people who legit still believe that because I may, you know, ascended to, you know, the heights of affluency and I have reached another socioeconomical status and my tax bracket has changed, that I am excluded from becoming HIV positive. And that's one of the things that has been very scary, yet very eye-opening. Another one, and it doesn't necessarily affect HIV positive people, you know, as a whole, but people who are educated don't get tested. And that was a shocker to me. And when I say educated, I mean the people who may be in our peer groups, who graduated from, you know, college and who have, you know, quote unquote, good jobs. And they may be in social or civic organizations, may be in a fraternity or sorority. They don't get tested. And it's a very alarming, and it's at a very alarming rate. It's not something that has been documented, but it's very popular opinion that educated Black women don't get tested. And that was a shocker. A big shocker.
What do you feel you have done, or what type of information do you try to put out there to help and encourage people to know their status or learn their status?
What I do, first and foremost, I always lead with know your status. Like, these are the resources that we have. Knowing your status, you know, regardless of your sexual orientation, your relationship or marital status, knowing your status is important. And what I do is I actually, on one of the YouTube videos or lives I did, I actually was like, you know, this is what you need to do to walk through to make sure that you're being tested and being tested fully to know your status across the board. I also emphasize that you can't want to know your overall physical health without wanting to know your sexual and reproductive health, because the two go hand in hand. And a lot of times when you take away HIV being associated with a sexual orientation and, you know, attribute to it being just that sex is natural. Sex is an act. Sex is not an orientation. So when you take this whole, you know, oh, it's only, you know, homosexual men who get HIV. No, do you have sex? Okay, you can get HIV. So this is what you need to do in order to prevent and keep yourself healthy as possible and not contract or spread HIV virus.
Very great information. I want to go back and see if you could talk with the audience a little bit about when you learned that you were HIV positive. Did you have to go back in your mind to figure out how you contracted it? And when you were still in the stage of shock or disbelief or grieving, how did you move forward and push yourself forward into the movement that you created today? How did you move past the pain and the shock into doing the advocacy and the work that you're doing now?
Oh, so you want to go back to September 29th, 2016. Huh. First of all, they called me, which is like against all type of HIPAA laws ever in life. So I received the phone call and I was out and I wasn't able to react the way I wanted to because I was out in public. When I did not have to go back into the recorders of mine to figure out who transmitted this to me, I knew exactly who it was. I think dealing with that, it was more so that I've told you that I'm HIV positive and I never received any more communication from him. And that was the largest disappointment ever. Because as an adult, you understand if you're having unprotected sex, you know these things. And because we had known each other for so long, I never would have imagined that it would have just been a get up and walk away. I never hear from you again. So at that point, I mean, all I had at that point was God and my therapist. And I'm always been an advocate for mental health. And I just knew that God and church wasn't going to be the only thing to help me get through this, because it was some very unchurch-like and unsafe-like things and thoughts I wanted to say that someone who was just, for lack of better words, church-minded may not always be able to understand, yet let me to express. Going through therapy, at the time when I was diagnosed, I got connected with a therapist who works with trauma as well as HIV patients here in the Memphis community. I was seeing her once a week. And we were literally, I would go in with my notebook and I was taking notes to figure out what I need to do to push past this. And through having those sessions with my therapist and her talking about her experience with the other patients, I knew that this had to be more than just a moment, a woe is me, let me deal with this in private, because it was too many sisters who I was encountering in group sessions who didn't have a voice. And I was like, that's unacceptable. So just to hear their stories, to know that these women have been living in secret and shame, have never disclosed, some 10, some 17, some 24 years living with HIV and not disclosing ever, and yet still living in shame. I was like, I can't allow this to happen. So if I just become the face of this to help ease the burden of somebody else, then that's what I'll do.
Yes, but I think it is very positive what you've done. And one of the great points that you stated that I think really needs to be repeated and emphasized is the fact that you use a multimodal approach. So you use the therapy, you use church, you use your support systems around you, one, to aid you in your healing, but two, to support you in your journey and moving forward. Can you tell us more about Positively Dia, like the services that you offer, and how people could find out more about you, how they could watch your YouTube videos and see more of the things that you have to offer?
You can reach out. The website is www.positivelydia, and that's DEIA.com. On there is blog entries, their videos, their blog entries with videos. What I do now is, in a nutshell, I'm a blogger and a content creator when it comes to HIV and AIDS. A lot of the stuff that I do is outreach within the community. We got an event coming up on National HIV Testing Day, which is June 27th. And I'm partnering with the Shelby County Health Department here in Memphis to encourage people to go get tested, to dispel the myth about stereotype that we have about going to the health department. And I'm sponsoring 20 people to go, regardless if you have insurance or not, to get tested. I'll come out, I'll speak, do panels, create events surrounding education, awareness, and information surrounding HIV and AIDS. The biggest thing is that I believe that in order for us to start having conversations about HIV, we have to have conversations about HIV. So in a nutshell, that's what Positively Dia does. Is I know sometimes I feel like I'm berating, you know, beating people over the head about HIV, but that's kind of like what I do, just until it becomes normal and part of everyday conversation, especially in African-American households. I'm going to keep talking, keep saying, and keep writing, and keep blocking.
That's awesome. So, Ladia, what is your daily mantra? What are a quote or some quotes that you live by?
One that's written on the bathroom mirror is, concentrate on being great and not celebrated. And that's one of the ones that really propels me, is basically concentrating on being great. Don't concentrate on being celebrated. And when you're great, you'll get the celebration. But if you just concentrate on being celebrated, you may not always be great. So that's what I look at every single morning when I get ready.
Okay, that's great. So Ladia Joyce of PositivelyDia.com, I encourage you to go to her website, follow her on Facebook, check out her YouTube videos. They are very educational and empowering, and share the information. Like you said, National Testing Day is coming up on June 27th. So please, please follow this amazing, amazing powerhouse. And thank you again, Lydia, for your time.
Thank you for having me. I promise you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Until next time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.